true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Hello.
Bip and recording on Audacity.
Guess who's on steroid drugs?
You?
Me.
Of course. And you're not at all sensitive to different weird things in your body. It doesn't do anything to you.
Well, I have to say, this is why I was kind of excited to talk about this at the top today. I'm amazed by, I knock wood and I who knows what'll happen, but so far I'm like, this is kind of great. It's working.
Let's give the context. I think you need to give the full context.
Yeah. So I have poison oak and I've had poison oak on my body since January 7th. And today, as we tape this, it is the 29th. And as time has gone by, it's gotten itchier and worse. And it wakes me up in the middle of the night and it's spread to my private parts.
Yep.
And they said on the internet, if it goes to your private parts and it wakes you up in the night, go to the doctor. And so I did, and I could also just like not stand it. It was really getting very bad.
Yeah.
And then got the steroids, very nervous to take them because, again, I am so sensitive to everything in the body.
Yeah.
And they are making me feel so calm. Usually, I guess they're stimulants. People I've talked to are like, oh yeah, they keep me up. It's like drinking espresso. And I'm like, I feel really chill and sleepy.
Huh.
But also, I'm not itching. And my theory is like, my body is so relieved from finally not itching all over itself.
That it can just calm down.
That it's, and also, it's able to realize how tired it is because I haven't been sleeping.
Ugh, not good.
So, yeah, good stuff. But yeah, happy to be on steroids. Never thought I'd say it. And I was saying this in my three-card spread today also about, you know, there's a certain way that like certain amounts of emotional integration work help a really sensitive body become more capable of handling more things. So I don't think I'll ever not be a sensitive person, but I don't think I could have done steroids a couple years ago. So it feels cool. It feels like, oh, look at me joining the human race.
Yeah. Gotta do a drug occasionally.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, your body was fighting back. How were you? So you and I went and saw a play yesterday. How were you? Because you hadn't gotten the steroids yet when we saw the play.
Right.
How twitchy and itchy and, oh my God, I can't sit still were you?
Not very, because that's the other thing about the itching that's very odd. If I'm distracted and focused on other things, it's there kind of constant low grade. It's when I would come home and relax, immediately like overwhelm me. It's all I could see and feel. It's like at night, you know how when you have a cold, it's worse in the morning and it's worse at night?
Yes, absolutely.
It was like that. Like therapy people talk about that's because of, what's it called? Ego. There's a term for it. Ego minimization or ego death or ego. Something happens in the morning and the night where your ego is less activated. So you can just feel more. That's why people have problems with their eating disorder at night. It's because the ego drops and you're just kind of left with yourself. Yeah. So anyway, during the play, I was just, holy shit, emotionally just on the ride of that thing. What a great shout out to Every Brilliant Thing at the Lesher Center, which I wish we would have any influence on, except they just closed.
Yeah, it just closed. That was Center Repertory Theater. It's a play that's being done all over the country, like by different companies. And it's just a one-person play. But it's different than like the one-man show that you would do where you write it and you perform it. It's just a play that someone wrote for a bunch of other people to perform. And like any, literally, and when I say anybody, I think it's like anybody can perform that play. It like doesn't require it. I think so. It doesn't require a gender or a race. It's very sort of neutral. It's identity neutral. How's that? In terms, I mean, for the most part, there's still, I'm sure there's some things in it that are not fully accessible by every single human, but.
Well, I think you're right, because as you know, you and I talked after I had a director saying they wanted to direct me in it, and I didn't know anything about it.
Right.
And then seeing it yesterday, I just feel flattered by that request, because that's a tough, that's like you got to really go there emotionally kind of show. But it also is like so, to me, so relatable. And so it's like, it would be easy to transfer the trauma I've been through over to that particular trauma. It's a show about suicide, which is not in my history, but the pain of trauma is, you could just transfer that right over.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a beautiful play.
And the actor, let's shout him out.
William Thomas Hodgson.
Fuck.
Fantastic. Such a relatable actor. You get in the room with, he's one of those people you get in the room with and you're like, yep. Whatever. You know, there are certain actors, once they just start to, any character they're playing, you just go, oh, I want to hang out with you. I want to be here.
Totally.
I want to be here in the room with whatever you have to say.
Right. He's welcoming. He's kind. He's loving. He's fun and light, but deep and emotional at the same time.
Yeah. That's great. That's lovely.
So good.
Oh, well, I'm thinking of a totally different subject, except that you and I hung out yesterday, which is a rarity. People should know that
these
very dear friends never see each other. And this is our entire relationship exists in this public conversation forum. And we would like to change that back to what it used to be.
Yes, exactly.
Or in addition to. Totally just want to acknowledge something that happened yesterday. You and I were talking about some deep, very personal stuff that we're probably not going to get into here.
Okay.
But like, I was sharing something I'm going through. And then you shared something related to it. And I feel like I went, uh-huh, and turned it right back to me.
Oh, thanks for catching that. Yeah.
Like when you shared that, I noted it. And I'm just like, it's been kind of sticking in my spinal column ever since then. Just the thought of that. I was like, yeah, I was on my own thing. And I just wanted to be like, uh-huh, that's cool. And here's how it's back to me again. Rather than, you know, engaging in the conversation that we were having, which is a back and forth.
Thanks, man. I so appreciate that. Yeah. I'll tell you, it's something that a long time ago, I decided that's just a Cassidy-ism and that's his ADD. I have ADD
right
in other ways. And I noted, I think sometimes the squirrel of your mind is like, it's hyper-focused on what's going on for it because you have to deal in your body with what's going on for you.
Right.
And it's a lot. And the squirrel is like, over here, I got a lot going on. I'm going to take this opportunity to talk it out. So I don't know. I learned how to be like, how to not personalize it.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, it's very sweet to hear it because it makes me feel like, I think it's like one of those things. I'm like, you know what? That's not about me. I'm going to let it go. I love this man.
Yeah.
We all have shit. But then I do sort of wind up not getting to talk about my stuff.
Right.
So thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You bet.
Yeah. It's funny too how it's such a nice thing to look at with relationships of how in relationships with people you love, you're like, you take the salt with the sweet or whatever the metaphor is.
We were just talking about this with a group of friends the other day.
But how like if you and I weren't friends and I didn't like you in a baseline way, I'd be like, that fucking guy and his interrupty. Like if you have a baseline love of someone, you can be compassionate and forgiving of their humanities. But
yeah, there's the price of admission on the friendship type
right,
of thing.
Right. It's just funny. Like, because I'd love to be able to just as easily as with a friend extend that to everyone. But it's harder if we're not buds. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Or you meet someone and someone like connects you and you go like, you guys should have a conversation. And then you spend the entire time in that conversation with them only talking about themselves and never asking you any questions. I think you've described that in dates.
Yeah.
Before, where you're like, well, that happened.
Yep. Yeah. I told you how I got to a place where I was like, I'm so old and I give so few fucks at this point that I'm just going to start calling people out on that on the date.
Would you like to ask me any questions?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Would you like to know anything about me?
And then this is how they lose extra points. They go, what do you want me to ask?
Oh, God.
Okay. I'd like you to ask for the check because we are done now.
I'd like you to ask for an Uber to pick me up now.
To pick your damn self up because I'm
yeah. Over. Ask your own Uber to come pick your ass up. Oh yeah, that's. We were just talking with a friend who, well, a group of us were together and we were waiting for the other friend, and this friend is always late. We call it. I won't say his name just because whatever. We call it Bob time. That's if that were his name. you know, like, oh, it's fine. It's Bob time. You know, like, and it's like, and one of them, one of the, these group has known this person since they were teenagers. Like, so,
mm-hmm.
And to hear that it's always been that way helps.
It does help.
Because it's like, that's just who this person is. And it is never, and he's worked on it and he's done better at it. He's better at least acknowledging it and telling us that he is late or is on his way.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, we're just going to be waiting. And if you decide that that's not acceptable, then that's
okay.
The deal. He's not going to be your friend. You're not going to make plans with him anymore. Or you're going to go, well, I love this person and I want them to be in my life. So I'm going to allow for it 80%. You know, I'm still going to be like, hey, do better.
Yeah.
Because we need you to do better because it's fucking us up.
Yep.
Even the friend, you know, like the conversation thing, you know, if it got too much, you'd be able to say to me, hey, we were talking about something and then you just took it back.
Yeah. Yes. You're making me think of I'm just thinking for the listener, like I had a friendship once where this is a female friend and we also worked together creatively and she was always fucking late. And I'm talking about late, like 20 minutes. That just really rubs me the wrong way. So we had a bunch of talks about it. You know, we would talk about it and she'd be like, so not about you. It's so not about you. It happens all the time. And I'd be like, I get that it's not about me for you, but it does affect me.
Yeah.
It makes me feel very disrespected. This is my time and energy. I could be doing other stuff. I know, but it's not about you and it has nothing to do with that. And I'd be like, I understand. But for me, you know, so I just kept saying to myself the thing I learned in recovery, which was like, you get to choose. Like if somebody has a thing, like I have plenty of things, right? If somebody has a thing, you get to say like, I'm either going to be friends with them with that thing, or I have to not torture them by being friends with them and demanding they change it perfectly to fit my whatever. I have to not be friends.
Yeah.
So I'm not just torturing them and being like, well, you need to get better. And I'm mad at you until you get better.
At a certain point, yeah, the decision must be made. Now, and it's a little bit related to the don't try to get milk from the hardware store concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, at a certain point, I am not going to get punctuality. I don't go to Bob for punctuality.
Exactly. The end of the story is simply that for a lot of years, I said to myself, this is just what, let's call her Carol.
Callista.
Sure. Callista. So I was like, that's what you get with Callista. You accept that about Callista. Then there were like four other things Callista brought to the table that I was like, bitch, no. And we would talk it out and I'd be like, hey, this is really hard on me. And could we maybe, how would it be for you if, and she'd say, sure. And then it never happened. And it was always the same. And then I realized one day I'm friends with someone who five of the seven things they do drive me crazy and are not fun.
Oh, it turns out I don't actually like this person that much.
That was like really, it sounds so dumb, but like kind of trauma I've had. I've had to like literally build myself from square zero to whatever. And it's like, I was a very fully formed adult when I had that experience for the first time of realizing, oh, I don't like her. I don't like her. And it's okay to not like somebody. If somebody has five things out of seven that you just can't stand, that's going to be unfun for both of you.
Yeah, there's no joy there.
Unkind of me to keep her around when I'm constantly irritated by her. So we broke up and we're not friends.
We broke up as friends.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the podcast. I won't say her name just because I'm not sure she wants me to share about her personal life, but I'm going to. Anyway, her mother, you're like 20 minutes late. And I was like, oh, honey, 20 minutes. That's cute. The 20 minutes late is a bad thing. Like her mother is literally hours and hours late to anything.
Mm-mm.
Sometimes it'll be like, oh, I'm going to drop that off. Okay, well, we need it by, you know, 6 p.m. That's correct. And it'll literally come the next day at 3. Like she'll finally bring it over. And that's fine because you couldn't get there. But there's no acknowledgement like, no, I said I'd bring it over. Yeah, you said you'd bring it over by 6. This is 22 hours late. And well, that's part one, but it's family. So you can't break up with that friend.
I mean, you can.
You can. And she has, you know, there.
But it may not be worth it.
It's not worth it. But what goes along with that is one of her sisters calling our friend and just going, God damn it, mom's late. And like raging. You're like, y'all are 40. And she's done this. Why are you? So that's the, you know, serenity prayer on Sister's part. You're like, yo,
right?
That is not going to ever not be the case.
Yeah.
And to rage out every time, there's some energy that you're flowing, you know.
Yeah, it's good to look at. I always like the 12-step framing around that, the 4-step thing of what is the self-centered fear that's underneath a rage out like that?
God, yeah.
I love it. For me, it's always like, because I'm an 8, right? Everything comes back to feeling disrespected.
Mm-hmm. I've heard this.
You know, if I'm like, this fucking bitch is late all the time, I go, okay, what am I afraid this means about me? Oh, I'm afraid they don't respect my time. And then if I really can get present to that vulnerability and go, hey, it feels to me like you don't respect my time. Is that what's going on when you're late? And they go, no, it's just I'm bad at time. Then that can help me be like,
right.
See, this isn't about me. It's this, but my self-centered fear says it is.
Yeah.
That's why I love that tool, because for you, it might be a totally different thing.
Yeah.
What is the self-centered fear underneath a rage out? That's just a great question to help people.
Yeah. Or a spin out or a panic. Because I rarely have rage outs, but I have the panics. I have the anxiety just goes flying off the, whoa.
Off the charts.
And is it because that person did that thing? Or is it because you have a fear around and a story around what it meant that that person did that thing?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Bodies, lives.
Lives and bodies. Well, you had a genius idea for today. And I also have this impulse for today.
Okay.
I wonder what you think about this. I want to pull cards again for like somebody, something, the collective America, something.
I love it. I think we should do a card pull. We were talking about there's been some requests out in the world that we throw a little more of our little improv back into the old cast.
I'm thrilled.
So we're going to do that. But, you know, it'd be fun if we pulled the cards first, because that might sprinkle some content into our, you know, you want to get a little fuel for the fire for an improv scene later on. Wait, I had something before you said. Nope. Oh, I just wanted to share one more thing. This is a me thing. It's just a me thing.
Yeah, please. I'm listening.
For the people. So I have some personal stuff that it's pretty deep and I want to deal with it. And it's great that I want to deal with it. It's so personal. I don't want to share it on the podcast, that kind of thing. And I will share.
It's about the time you robbed a bank.
It's about the time I robbed a bank and I still feel guilty about it.
A lot of shame.
I'm frozen in shame around this bank robbery and I need Katie to clear it for me. And I will say that I'm already talking to Katie about helping me work on this stuff. Y'all should do it. KLRubin@gmail.com. Get the thing. Yeah.
It's katierubin.com.
Oh, it's katierubin.com. Go to the website. Yeah.
Do that.
But, oh, just, how do I say this?
Naming it.
The thing that I am hurting on.
Yes.
Now that it is on the table and clearly defined.
Right.
Especially between me and another person that it exists somewhat between.
Yes.
I'm clean.
Oh, that's so nice.
Do you know what I mean?
I know just what you mean.
You wake up and you go, hey, what's going on today? You don't wake up going, oh, fuck, my sad or my hurt or my confusion or my fear around what's going on, all that shit. Yeah, just it feels good to like be like, all right, work on that.
Yeah.
And then get on with my fucking life until I do.
I 100,000,000% know what you're talking about. It's like,
yeah.
Let's see. Let me think of a good example of, I go through this regularly as a self-employed person around money.
Because you rob banks.
After robbing banks, I usually wet myself.
Yeah.
Then when the pee is running down the insides of my pants, I'm thinking, I got to get new pants again.
And it stings because you have the
poison oak.
You have the poison oak going on.
Right. And I don't have endless money to buy constant pants.
Right.
So you see how it's a financial issue.
Yeah. Where did this start?
Okay. So what I'm really saying is money, being self-employed for a long, long time, doing weird things. I'll get anxiety about money where I'm like, I know I need some bigger amount and it's not sitting there and where's it going to come from? And how do I've already done everything I know how to, This is like normal stuff that like self-employed people go through.
Yeah.
I had a person years ago give me a tip. They were like, get very over the top to the dollar clear about it on paper. Look at the numbers when you're anxious about money. Write down exactly how much you need for exactly what, how much exactly you have, and exactly how much is coming in soon. Face it directly with as much detail as you can. Every single time this happens, I probably do this, I don't know, once every week and a half, 2 weeks, where I'm like, I gotta look at my numbers again because I have stress about this. I think that looking at it is gonna be worse. It's gonna be bad and it's gonna be bad news and I'm gonna have to deal with it. Then I have to call people and I have to take all this action and I don't have energy and I don't have time and I have to direct the play and it's never gonna happen. If I just do it, it takes me 4 minutes. What do I have? What do I need? Yes, it's a larger number than I want it to be. What's coming in? Oh, the reality always ends up being less terrible than I thought it was.
Yep.
And then just by looking at the numbers, the money starts to come in.
Yeah. Interesting.
Like a gig comes or a client calls, or if they don't, if that doesn't happen, I know what to pray for and do my energy work around. And I know what action steps to take. Okay, I need to book this many more people. So I'm going to ask the universe for that and I'm going to send a couple emails and then I'm done.
Yeah.
Because I've shown up for what I can show up for. But it's when we don't know. It's like we're living in the vagueness. In recovery, we talk about the enemy is vagueness. Like when you're not clear on exactly what's required, the anxiety grows.
Yeah.
But when you face it directly, name it exactly, then it's like, well, I know what to do about this. So I'll do it and it'll either work or it won't. But I don't have ultimate control over the universe. So all I can do is do what I can do.
Yeah.
So that's my version of like how I go through what you're describing on the regular.
Absolutely. No, yeah. It's
yeah.
Just do the thing. Yeah.
Look right at it. Name it exactly for what it is. Admit that it's there. And then you can get to work, figure out what to do. I have a girlfriend who lives elsewhere who, you ever have that one friend who's sort of always struggling with the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And like her thing is she won't get specific about numbers on paper. She's like, I just don't, it's like kind of like about this and it's like about that. And it never changes for her because she'll never get specific. And then the people I know who get specific, it changes.
Yeah.
It's just it's just funny. It's kind of, yeah. There you have it. Looking at things.
Be clear.
All right. So improv. Do you want to tell people what we're doing with her?
Well, here's the thought we had.
Yeah.
Because we are the podcast that has talked a lot about the Enneagram. And it's it was reminded because you brought up a person that we've had on the podcast, Rachel Hamilton.
Yes.
A long time ago. And she does a class on this. She literally teaches improv from the point of view of the Enneagram.
Oh, see, that's so good.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. So I thought of all places that we could actually actively do that. It would be on the podcast, I suppose. Maybe in a show we could do it. We'd have to explain it to the audience. But most of our listeners have a little bit of a sense of the Enneagram. And I will still blast through the main types before we do it. But I thought we could basically get ourselves. I've got a bunch of suggestion generators here. And we'll do a scene and a numbering.
Nine-sided die?
Yeah. So I'll be like, Katie, you're playing a three and a,
okay,
at the store.
Okay. I love this. I also have been pulling cards for our audience. What would be a useful three-card spread for our audience? And I just pulled that spread. So we could do this in whichever order we want. Do you want to do three-card spread and then game or game and then three-card spread?
Hold on. My table is literally collapsing.
Or do you want to fall down?
I don't want that to happen. Because if my table collapses, everything falls apart.
No.
What is going on here? Why?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Sorry, everything's falling. Just a second. Time out. It's falling apart. I don't know what to do. Okay, well, I'll fix it later. I think I jammed it back in so it'll at least
stay up and not fall apart while I'm performing. words. Okay, I'm here. But first we're going to do a three-card spread just for the people or for whoever's listening.
Yeah, let's do that. Sure. Okay, hold on. I got busy doing work while you were doing your table. Okay. So I was saying, what does the group of our audience need to hear, knowing that they're going to hear this not until Saturday at the earliest? And
now a week from Saturday, because we're a week ahead right now.
Oh, God, is this still going to be relevant for them? Yes. Okay. Well,
give us a 2-week call.
By the time they hear it, it's going to be relevant. Okay. All right. Well, in the recent past, we have, maybe we can post a picture of this for the people with somehow with this episode.
Yeah. You'll have to turn. There you go.
All right. In the recent past, we have the Golden Palace. Really nice card. Interestingly, the present moment is the Rock Bottom card.
Wait, hold on. Let me do something. Give me that recent past one again. I'm going to do a little screenshot.
Golden Palace.
I thought I could. Never mind. You'll just have to take some pictures yourself and send it to Des.
We can't send him the video of this?
Yeah, well, that's a lot to dig it out, and then you'll have to crap it. It'll be easier if you just literally take a picture of those cards.
Okay. Golden Palace is the... You can't take a screenshot?
You can. It's just...
It's not working.
Trust me, it's so much better if we just send the...
Rock bottom is the present moment, and the outcome is the magical map shifter. And now I'm going to talk about what these things mean. All right. So, and I have to say, I'm eating my words right now because I'm feeling amped the fuck up by this steroid now.
They're kicking in.
I keep having to like breathe to like be like, huh, calm down. Okay. The Golden Palace. This is the recent past for the listeners. The Golden Palace card represents good fortune, ambitions fulfilled, wealth, and prosperity. It may also indicate emotional fulfillment, as perhaps you're entering into a time of happiness that's long overdue. The message here is that self-worth isn't measured by what you have, no matter how abundant your life is. Instead, it comes from what you are, how authentically you're living your life, and how much love you're willing to share. Granted, receiving this card does indicate material gain and a furthering of tangible rewards, but things come and go, and knowing your true value leads to even greater riches now. Share the wealth. Golden Palace, very fun, very positive, financially abundant, and authentically nurturing, spiritually abundant card in the recent past. Interesting that we have the abundance, right, of spirit and money, and then in the present moment we're hitting rock bottom with something. Surrender and acceptance are the keys to freedom. As difficult as it may be to accept, it seems that you've reached a point where you can go no further in the same manner in which you've been doing things. Perhaps you've hit a proverbial brick wall or experienced a deep sense of loss and don't know where to turn. Just got a bunch of intel for you, Cass. The old way of doing things must be discarded fully in order to move onward and upward. A new direction and a new strategy are called for. The only way out is through surrender. Accept things as they are. That's what we were just talking about. And admit that you have no idea what to do next. If you wait in that heartfelt moment of release, then a stairway will appear like magic and all manner of synchronicities will show you the way to higher ground. The rock bottom card is a sign that a miracle is about to occur, but only if you let go completely. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the outcome is the magical map shifter. I love this card a lot. Okay. This is the outcome for the coming 7 days after you guys are all hearing these words. Spirit orchestrates everyone's destiny. When the magical map shifter card arrives, it comes with a mission to make you aware of the people who come into your life to impact your personal growth. Perhaps you may meet a soulmate whose presence invites you to be the best you that you can be, or someone who leads you out of difficulty and into a place of safety or success. Pay attention to those individuals who cross your path today and cause you to reflect on your journey. Be awake and aware, and you'll recognize them for the important change agents they are. Your whole perspective about who you are and why you're here will shift. The magical map shifter always initiates you into a better version of yourself. Very interesting. So we have in the recent past, we've become abundant in some way. We've been getting what we want. We've been seeing the material payoff. We've been reminded that even when we see the material payoff, it's not the things and the money and the status because those come and go. It's how authentically we're living our lives. Presently, it happens to be the case that we're also no longer able to go forward on some certain topic in the same way we've been going forward before. And the outcome is somebody magical who shows up in your reality to facilitate pulling out the higher self of you, the best version of you. So keep your eyes out, everybody, peeled for who's showing up in my world right now as the magical map shifter, that energy that activates me into aligning with my higher self or a higher version of myself than I've been being up till now. And I always remember, too, the magical map shifter can be someone already in your life that's just showing up to play a certain role, or not. It can be a new somebody. So there you have it. I hope that's useful to our listeners.
Cool. Three things. You just got a bunch of download for me. Do you want to share it before it goes away?
Oh, well,
and we'll just edit it out?
No, just does any of this relate for you? Because I was just getting how specifically it's related to your reality.
Yeah, related to the private reality that we have been sharing offline, absolutely.
Okay, that makes sense. Yep, yep.
Yeah.
For the middle card. Yeah, I was getting like the recent past is like all the acting jobs and like all the abundance of connection and community, lots to do with friends and fun and a sense of family and belonging and creative work and money. And you've been really in it, in the flow, doing great post-COVID, rocking it in the recent past with all these
I don't perceive it that way.
We never do we?
No. But
you don't see that? All the acting jobs back to back?
Very few acting jobs back to back.
You're insane.
I am not.
You have three jobs back to back, don't you? You have the one coming up. You just did one.
Okay, you're right. I did one in September. I wouldn't call the one I just did an actual job, and then I have the one coming up.
Wait, oh, yeah, but you got the gig, and you showed up for the thing, and they paid you the money, and you had the association with the... I mean, that was a job.
Yeah, it was... There was so much about it that didn't feel that way that I kind of reject the premise on that.
Well,
I absolutely hear what you're saying. But yeah, things are moving.
Yeah. Another way to frame it is you booked three jobs in your chosen field. Some people have booked no jobs in their chosen field.
Right. Yeah.
So it's pretty abundant.
Yeah.
And good times socially. I don't actually know what that's about. I think it's less about the specific thing we were talking about and more about like lots of other people.
Yeah.
And then presently the thing is up. And then the outcome could just be you and me doing that work we're going to do. But it could also be something else.
Yeah. That you are the magical map maker to my reality or something like that.
Magical map shifter.
That's even better.
Yeah.
That's like a facilitator as opposed to a creator.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And or you keep your eyes open, you see what other forms of this archetype show up for you.
Absolutely. Cool.
Yeah. All right. So improv game, Enneagram types.
All right. Yeah. We were good at being coy and yet still being clear there. That was pretty good.
Good shit.
All right. So let's do some game, some scene. Here's the thought I got. I even pulled it up. I got shit going on my phone. I have a 9-sided die on my phone. I actually have a 10-sided die.
Okay.
But if we get a 10, we ignore it.
Okay.
To assign us each a Enneagram number.
Okay.
And we also have, I have a suggestion generator so we could get like a location and a scenario or a word or something like that.
Yes.
Just to kind of kick us off. What do you think?
I love it. I'm ready.
I kind of want to talk more about the Enneagram for a sec, though.
Please do.
Is that all right?
Yep.
The reason I think it's cool is the idea of how, as actors and as improvisers, especially with certain improv teachers, you really get into the acting of it, you know, and really understand that, you know, characters have passions. They have things, places they're coming from. They have not like transactional desires, but actual seated desires, soul desires, right? Your best improv scenes come from a desire or a thing that you want, as opposed to, I would like to buy a quart of milk, which is transactional. I want to feel like I belong. You know, that's kind of where your best scene work comes from, both scripted and unscripted. And the Enneagram is a great place to play with that because they're so starkly laid out. You know, the heart fears and the annihilation fears. Like, I don't know them that well, but even just the descriptors help give you a sense to dive in to each type.
Question.
Yeah.
When we get our type, would you be willing to give me 2 minutes to pull up a page I like to pull up when I'm looking at any?
Yeah, why not? That's fun. That's both for us and the listeners. Great. All right. Yeah, I have a very simple version of it. The reformer is the rational idealistic type, principled, purposeful, self-controlled, and perfectionistic. But you want to go a little deeper when we actually get our numbers, and I think that's great.
CC.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to do a thing then. First thing I'm going to do, let's roll our types and then we'll get the suggestion after you describe the types. Make sense?
Oh, I'm going to do it?
No, I'm going to, the page you were going to pull up, was that just for you or are you going to read it out loud?
Oh, no, that's just for whenever you give me the one I'm doing, I was just going to pull this thing up because it has.
Oh, rather than read it to the audience.
It's too much.
Okay,
great. I
could
read a baseline thing for the audience.
I can give the headlines.
Yeah.
Once I get it. All right, Katie, you will be playing a one.
Ugh.
I know. The rational, idealistic type. Principled, purposeful, self-controlled, and perfectionistic. Anything you want to add to that?
There's a lot of things. I have to look at it. I am going to read this. All right. The fixation of the one, resentment, comes from trying to live up to standards for what's acceptable and right while others aren't. Trap, perfection, comes from striving to attain or model an ideal that is free from flaws or criticism. The fixation of resentment points to the mental preoccupation of perfection, which keeps an individual stuck in fixation. So it's a little circle.
Yeah.
The holy idea of the one, this is like how you would frame, like, what's the positive in this? Holy perfection is about discovering the perfection of the world as it is, instead of trying to impose your own set of standards upon it. Passion is anger. It's primarily directed at myself and secondarily at others and the world at large, because the passion of anger is the emotional energy that serves the fixation of resentment and the trap of perfection. And the virtue is serenity. Serenity appears when you become more accepting of things as they are, instead of demanding that they meet your standards for how they should be.
Huh. All right. You're like, ugh, that's no fun to play. Of course it is.
No, it's good. I got it.
Oh, that's a 10. All right. And I'll be playing. And please give us the explication on the 6.
Okay.
The loyalist.
Okay. This is good. I'm going to learn.
The committed, security-oriented type. Engaging, responsible, anxious, and suspicious.
Got another one that's not my favorite. Okay. The 6. I sound like such a 1, don't I? Okay. Fixation is cowardice, comes from waiting for something or someone to alleviate doubt before taking action. The trap is security, requires constant scanning for potential dangers and problems in order to be prepared. The fixation of cowardice points to the mental preoccupation of the type 6 ego. The trap of security keeps an individual stuck in the fixation. The holy idea. Faith, holy faith, is trusting in yourself and others that you can navigate life in spite of the doubts and questions you may have. The fixation of cowardice and trap of security keep an individual stuck in the 6 fixation. The way out of that fixation is through holy faith. The passion, fear, arises from a sense of uncertainty and doubt within. I scan others and the world around me to locate dangers and find something to reassure me. The passion of fear is the emotional energy that serves the fixation of cowardice and the trap of security. Lastly, the virtue. Courage appears when you step into action as circumstances dictate, in spite of any lingering doubts or fears that you might have about doing so. The virtue of courage is what appears when the passion of fear subsides.
All right. Okay. Let's see how this goes. And now I'm going to bring up this thing will generate a location, a relationship, and a word. Which do you want?
Location, say again, location, relationship, word?
Yeah, any 3 or 2 of the 3, or what do you want?
How about all 3?
All 3. We are at the fruit market.
The fruit market?
Yep.
Okay.
We are a senator and a lobbyist.
Oh, okay.
And the word is programming, whatever that means.
All right.
Intro music play here.
Wow, these are the most mushy star fruits I have ever seen on the hill this time of year.
Well, I thought it would be better than it is here. I was hoping to, frankly, charm you with the quaintness of this particular farmer's market.
My God.
Maybe should we try another stand?
It's raining too. And I didn't even bring an umbrella. I guess I'll put my hood of my jacket up. At least there's that.
Oh, thank you. Your Secret Service agent brought you an umbrella. They just handed it to me, and I'm handing it to you. Here you go.
No, you can use it. It's fine. I've got the hood of my jacket up, so I'm all set. Yeah, what a terrible day to be doing this. And this farmer's market does not have its shit together. I mean, look at that booth over there. It's practically collapsing under the weight of this light drizzle.
Shit, maybe we should move to the right a little bit. Let's stand over here. Look, the reason I brought you here, I mean, you know who I am. I know who you are. There's no question. Let's just get right to the honesty.
Sir, no, sir, I do not want to buy a bushel of starfruit. Your starfruit is mushy. Thank you very much. John, could you get this man to back up, please? Thank you. I'm sorry. You were saying?
Yes. The people I represent are very interested in the farm bill that's coming up. Uh-huh. And I was hoping to talk about the idea of increasing funding for small farmers. So I thought this would be a good setting. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you can see, they are not able to do as good a job as they would like to because they are underfunded. The mushy star fruit, that's probably a direct result of lack of access to the correct. Could you just step one step to the left, sir? I am worried that you are right in the walkway, and there's a lot of people here, and one of them's going to sneeze on you, give you these the old
people,
COVID.
These people are fine. They can make their way around me. Anyway, you were saying?
Okay. Wanted you to be okay.
I'm doing fine.
Looking out for you.
Yeah.
I was saying we need more services for the under-resourced.
Uh-huh. Are you all right?
I'm...
You seem very tense.
I'm new at this job.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't seem very good at it.
I hear that. What I wanted to...
Okay, listen.
Are you just going to shoot me down completely? Is this should I even waste my time?
Kind of hemming and hawing. Francis, can you bring the car around, please? Why don't you have one of your more confident constituents hit me up at the office?
I was okay. I am.
Thank you, Francis.
People are going to murder you.
Unbelievable. This guy. And scene. Gotta end on the button. Let's do another one.
Okay. That was fun. Silly. That's wild. Okay. Let us do two different numbers. A 9 and a 4. Which one do you want?
Oh, I get to choose. I'll take the 9.
You'll take the 9, I'll take the 4. I love it. Oh, I love it. That's great. A 9 and a 4. The 9 is the peacemaker. Easygoing, self-effacing, receptive, reassuring, agreeable, and complacent. What do you have to say about the 9?
The fixation is indolence or laziness is about resisting demands and expectations that disrupt a feeling of harmony and continuity. The trap is a seeker of harmony and belonging that accommodates by going along with others and not rocking the boat. The fixation of indolence points to the trap of the seeker, keeping the individual stuck in the fixation. Holy love is the ideal, realizing that love comes to you not by negating yourself for the sake of others, but by discovering and pursuing your own path. Passion is laziness and difficulty with defining and accomplishing goals. I tend to go along with what others are doing and lose myself in routine and comfort. The virtue is action, when you pursue what's meaningful to you instead of simply going along to get along or falling into habitual routines for comfort. The 9. Easygoing, peacemaker.
Well, that was the 9.
Go with the flow, laziness. Uh-huh. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, the 4 is the individualist, sensitive, withdrawn type, expressive, dramatic, self-absorbed, and temperamental.
Fixation is melancholy, coming from a dissatisfaction with what is and a longing for what once was or could have been. Authenticity is the trap, comes from finding a sense of self and significance that expresses your unique gifts and individuality. Holy originality is the holy idea. It involves accepting the common and ordinary in life instead of disdaining it in favor of the unique and special. The fixation of melancholy and the trap of authenticity keep an individual stuck in the type 4 fixation. The way out of that fixation is through holy originality. Accepting the common and ordinary. The passion is envy, one-sided comparisons between the positives of others and the negatives of myself. The virtue is equanimity. It appears when you also see the positives you have to offer instead of just the negatives when comparing yourself to others.
Cool.
Okay.
So we are a peacemaker and an individualist, and we are the word, not the location, is hurricane.
Okay. Maybe we just do one or two this time.
Yeah. And the location, that's fine. The location is a carpenter studio, and hurricane is somehow connected to this whole thing. And you are a...
Nine,
and I don't need to know what you are, and I am a four.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good.
So happy to be here today. Thank you for seeing me. I'm
absolutely. I was able to make time in my schedule for you.
Appreciate it.
So come on in. What do you need?
Yeah, it's basically we just need like a rocking chair for my wife when she's rocking the baby, and then we kind of want to like just a simple hutch to keep the baby's clothes in.
Hutch and rocking chair.
Yeah, maybe matching, like, because it'll be in the same...
Same wood?
That'd be cool.
Ooh. Is that...
No, that's not... Is that not something...
Let me just say that ash tends to work better for things that are going to hold things.
Okay.
But you don't want to use ash for a rocking chair.
No, right.
I mean, it just... It scrapes the soul to think about that. You're going to want to use beech.
Beech, of course. Beech. Yeah. That makes total sense. Okay, so we'll get a beech chair.
I could do it. I'm not...
We'll get a beech chair and a beech hutch or beech...
No, an ash hutch.
Oh, okay, sure.
I mean...
That's because...
Well, they each have their own magic. I mean, a hutch is a hutch and a chair is a chair.
Right.
I mean, would you say, hey, make this cup out of the same thing as you make this chandelier? No.
I would not. That'd be crazy. No.
I mean, you're the customer. Whatever you want, I will do.
Oh, you seem confused.
To be honest, I'm lying. I'm saying I would do it, but I would do it resentfully, and I would not enjoy the process.
Okay. Well, listen, you know best, and
I do.
So that's great. So how long do you think it'll take you to make the chair and the hutch?
Oh, you want a timeline. God.
Well, we are...
I mean...
You know, the baby's coming, so...
No, you're having a baby.
Yeah, that's the chair. She's going to rock the baby in the chair.
Yeah, that changes everything.
Oh, really? How so?
Yeah.
Is that because the...
I mean, like, the beach? Weight, the load... And a baby?
Oh, no, that doesn't work.
Well, I mean, if you think about the history of the beach.
Oh, boy.
The B-E-E-C-H, not the sandy shore.
Are you sure you're not
It was traditionally...
rude, but you're not meaning the word birch, are you?
No. If I meant birch, I would say birch.
Oh, that's fair. I apologize. I'm so sorry. You were saying the history of the beach. Carry on. Please.
It was traditionally used in witchcraft and other forms of ritual, in which case people would tend to imbue it with their more, passionate emotions.
Sure.
Which is not something you really want in a baby contraption.
That makes total sense. So perhaps we would do the chair in a different kind of wood, maybe like a sandalwood.
Or... Sandalwood.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I'm sorry.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know what I was thinking.
I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with you. You're beautiful and perfect.
That sounded kind of sarcastic.
Tell me what you like.
I
am honestly listening this time.
Okay, I mean, I really would defer to you. You're the guy who knows the stuff about things. I mean, I like a nice cherry wood.
God.
For a chair.
That's beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
It's pricey, but it's beautiful.
Oh, okay. What do you think? What would that run us? The chair and the hutch in cherry.
God, I hate putting numbers on things would mean so much, but I have to. So
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
750 for the chair, and that's giving you a deal.
I'm sure it is.
The cherry wood alone,
right? I believe
you. Is gonna run me a lot.
Okay. Uh-huh. But I'm so sorry. Are you gonna
drawn to?
You're not gonna have to like chop the tree down.
A thousand.
Oh, because you'll be chopping the wood down yourself directly, or
no? Because I just changed my mind.
Oh, okay. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
$1,000 for the cherry chair.
Yeah,
and the hutch.
I'm not gonna be able to build the hutch.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. Well,
that's because you don't have...
You can't possibly understand.
My mother used to tell me I really was pretty stupid, so I think you're probably right that I wouldn't be able to track it. So I'll take you at your word, and here's $1,000 to get going on the chair.
Cherry wood chair.
Cherry wood chair. Looking forward to carrying that home. When should I come back?
I'll call you. Just leave your number there on the counter.
General estimate, six weeks, 7 weeks.
Sure.
Seven weeks, I should...
Two weeks? Anywhere between 2 and 12.
Okay. All right. Well, here's my card, and you can call me, or you could email me. My email's on there. Also, you could send a letter. That's my address. And if it's easier for you... I have a carrier pigeon that I bring to each appointment, so you can have this carrier pigeon. His name is John.
Leave it here.
And then he'll just fly right to my condo and fly back.
I have to care for it, I assume.
No, he's an anorexic pigeon, so you don't have to feed him, or he has no needs of any kind. So don't feed him, don't even look directly at him. We want to strain you in no way. So just hand the carrier pigeon the message whenever you're ready. Pay no mind. And I'll get out of your hair.
Okay.
Have a great day. Ding, 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 ding. Ding.
That
was sad. For no reason.
See?
I wanted there to be like emo background music in that one.
Well, maybe there will be. We do have a fantastic editor who plays work for us. We just won't know it until we hear it later.
You want to do one more?
Yeah. What am I trying? I'm wondering if we want to just talk about like what came up around those things. Should we do one more and then we'll talk about all of them?
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. well, just one thing I notice is status.
Uh-huh.
These play with status really well too.
Yeah.
All right. We have a 7. Ooh, a 7 and an 8. Ooh, that's good.
Well, I definitely should be the 7 because I am an 8.
And I'll be the 8.
And I'll get to see your caricatured version of me.
I just want to say that in the, I was a 4 with a 5 wing in that last one.
Clearly.
I mean, it was definitely not a 3 wing. It was a 5 wing.
You should tell the audience what that means.
The investigator, 5, the intense cerebral type, perceptive, innovative, secretive, and isolated, but really he's a researcher and he likes to share. That's the thing about 5s is they like to know the details on things and like the specific research on some topic. And I realized as it was happening that I was being a little 5-y.
That's so funny. why don't you read the short breakdown of the 7 and then do the short breakdown of the 8 and then I'll do the longer one.
7, the enthusiast, the busy, fun-loving type, spontaneous, versatile, distractible, and scattered. 8, the powerful, dominating type, self-confident, decisive, willful, and confrontational.
Dude, if only I knew what they meant. Only I knew. All right, the 7, fixation and trap. This is good education, and we're having fun while we do it. I'm proud of us. All right, the fixation of the 7, planning. My God, I just have to, as an aside, have you ever tried to go to dinner with Scott Lifton?
No, but what's funny is his job with the group, with the thing he works for is scheduling. He's the one he's the staffing. He does a good job with it. But
oh, he's excellent. Here's how a conversation goes when you're like, hey, he's like, hey, you want to hang Thursday night? I'm like, totally. So it's like Wednesday night and I'm like, hey, you want to grab drinks or should we get food? And he's like, okay, if we go to this restaurant, they have a really good charcuterie board. Now this one is 3 blocks away, but they have meat, but they also have vegan stuff. Now, this one has fish, but no meat. And it's on the water, so we'd have a nice view. If you want cocktails, we should go to this fourth one. But if you want beer, we should go to this fifth one. What do you think? And I'll be like, okay, I'm not done. I'll be like, cocktails sound great with a vegan burger. And he's like, great. Well, the vegan burger at the first place is really good. But there's another place that has a vegan burger that's even better. But it's across the bridge. Now, I could pick you up 20 minutes before, and then we could go. It goes on forever, the planet. I'm just like, pick one. I'll meet you wherever you want to meet.
I love that.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, so planning, let's read this, is about looking forward to many exciting possibilities and a way to fit them all into one's life. Trap, idealism that is enthused about whatever's possible, but moves on to what's next when the enthusiasm wanes. The fixation of planning points to the mental preoccupation of the seven ego. The trap of idealism keeps an individual stuck in the fixation. Holy idea is holy work, following through in the present on what seems uncomfortable or difficult, but leads to a deeper satisfaction and joy. Man, I relate to that. I am an eight with a seven wing, dude. Okay, the fixation of planning and trap of idealism keep an individual stuck in the fixation. The way out is through holy work. Passion, gluttony. Gluttony of the mind is the pull felt toward interesting possibilities. Why get mired in the boredom or discomfort when pleasurable alternatives are available? Oh my God, I have a lot of this. The passion of gluttony is the emotional energy that serves the fixation of planning and the trap of idealism. The virtue is sobriety. Son of a bitch. Sobriety appears when you see endeavors through to the end instead of moving on to something easier and more interesting than what's at hand. The virtue of sobriety is what appears when the passion of gluttony subsides. Yeesh!
Yeesh.
That really called me out on some stuff. Okay. And the eight?
The eight?
Maybe I'm more of a seven than I remember. That sounds a lot like me. Okay. Oh, you already read yours. I'm reading it. Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot. Got confused. Eight. Vengeance, the fixation is vengeance, comes from balancing the scales of justice when others attempt to take unfair advantage. The trap is justice, pushes to reveal hidden truths that you imagine others to be hiding beneath the surface. Fuck. The holy idea...
Read that again.
Yeah.
Sorry, spaced out.
The trap?
Sure.
The trap is justice. So the fixation is vengeance. We have fixated on balancing the scales of justice when others attempt to take unfair advantage.
Mm.
The trap is justice. Justice pushes to reveal hidden truths that you imagine others to be hiding beneath the surface. It's like you're trying to call people out on stuff.
Yeah.
The holy idea is holy truth, knowing that each person has their own truth to live by, and often it won't be the same truth that seems so obvious to you. Okay, I'm doing great. Passion of the eight is excess. Excess of expansive energy that needs to be released through activity and expression. This energy feels natural for me, but I may have to sit on it when others find it to be too much. The passion of excess is the emotional energy that serves the fixation of vengeance and the trap of justice. Lastly, the virtue. Innocence appears when you allow yourself to experience tenderness and vulnerability instead of habitually pushing out against the world.
Do you sometimes read your Enneagram and just it hits you afresh?
Oh, yeah. Every time.
All right. Well, looking it up, I pulled up the thing, and all I want to do is one of the suggestions because it was call center. So we're going to do a little customer service call here.
All right. Hi, welcome to Casey's call-in center, where we call you back when you call us.
Yeah.
This is Casey herself. Nice to meet you. Who am I speaking with today?
This is Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
It's Aaron. That's an A-A-R-O-N. We are not the E-R-I-N or one of the other variations of that name.
Oh, that's so fun. I love that. My cousin's name is Aaron. We used to go to this amusement park when we were kids. So how can I help you today, Aaron?
Well, I purchased one of your products. I got the deluxe.
Give me 1 second. I'm just on a call with a customer. Yeah, but oh, girl, you look cute today. What's going on? You want to go to lunch? Yeah, I'll totally go to lunch. We could get pizza or we could get Thai or there's that new Japanese place. Sorry, sir. You were saying?
Yes, I was saying that I had purchased the deluxe package.
Uh-huh.
The deluxe rain shower package?
Yeah, sure. Oh, our deluxe rain shower.
Yeah.
That's a big, big seller for us lately. Also, the deluxe wind tunnel is selling really nicely, as is the deluxe dust bowl.
That's great. Just want to talk about the rain shower.
Okay, great. Well, if you ever want to hear about the dust bowl or the hurricane,
I will let you know.
Available as well.
Absolutely call you back on that.
Okay, great. So what are you looking for today? How can I help you?
Well, put it bluntly, it doesn't work.
Oh. Well, that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that.
Look, I know you're running a business and you're doing what you can to make your own money, but I need to have a thing that works. If I pay for it, I need it to do the thing that I want it to do.
Absolutely. That's completely fair. Now, I'm going to send you today, sir, a new version of that. Now, just so you know, we have 6 new versions of it, and they're all really, really cool. So I'm just going to give you a choice of which one you want. It's the same product. It's a rain shower head, just like you had. Now, we have the purple kind. And what it does is it shoots water out of varying temperatures at each time, which is actually better for the circulation.
Okay, here's what I'm going to need you to do.
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to need you to do.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to need you to set aside your little speech, your little sales pitch.
Oh, okay.
Full respect. I know you're doing what you got to do. Now I'm going to need you to tell me exactly what I need to get. And I need you to tell me the truth.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I would never tell you anything other. I'm just telling you that there are options for the version of the thing you like. For example, you could get the pink one that is not the purple one. It comes all the water that comes out is remineralized. So we put it through a remineralizer, and then the water coming through your shower is actually very good for your skin and bones. Or you could have the green rain shower head, which is really
How about
good
this?
For the environment.
I want you
yep.
to please tell me.
Uh-huh.
We've been talking for a little while here.
Yep.
I think we've gotten to know each other a little bit.
Yeah.
I need you to tell me truthfully.
Sure.
Which one you think I should get?
Okay, now that's a great question. Thank you so much for asking, sir. Help me understand you just a little bit better. I'm imagining you're a dreamer and a traveler, and you like to try different things in your life and experience all kinds of different flavors. So do you prefer, in a general way, traveling in the Middle East, traveling in the Far East, traveling in the South and the Southern beach climes, or up in the North where it's wintry and cold?
North, winter, cold.
Fantastic. Then I think our 5th item, 7th item, and or 1.2 is going to work best for you. So I'm going to go ahead and send you all 3 of those in a package, and you can pick your favorite one and then just like throw the box away. Don't tell my boss I said that to you. Throw the box away. Keep them all. Sell them on the black market. We don't care. We love you. You're a good friend of ours. Have a great day.
Well, thank you. That, I got to tell you, I did not expect that.
Well, that's how we like to operate here.
You're just giving me the thing.
I'm going to give you 3 things, but don't tell my boss about it. So tell me your address real quick.
Yeah.
I have it here in your file as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Is that right?
That's exactly how addresses work.
Okay, great. All right. I have already sent to our manufacturer the request for all 3. Don't tell my boss. And they're going to show up at your place sometime tomorrow because we are putting in a request for the fast delivery. It's going to be great. I got to go get some pho and some burgers and some pizza with my homie now. So thank you so much for calling in. And please, would you stay on the line to answer this quick questionnaire about how great we did? Have a great day.
I would be pleased.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your service today? 1, terrible. 2, not terrible. 3.
All right, I'm just going to interrupt you right there. I'm going to skip to the 9. 4,
excellent.
Just 9. I would love it if you would just
6.
Let me
I'm
have
a
9.
I'm a computer and can't skip ahead. 7. The best thing I've ever experienced. 8.
9.
Even better than that. 9. It's like a walking orgasm in my ears.
That
10.
One.
You've selected 9. Thank you. End scene. We did.
All right, what did I get wrong about the 8, Katie?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, it was very direct and very controlling of you. Great job.
To be honest, I tried to find the vulnerability towards the end. I was going for the holy idea.
Oh, that's nice.
Right? Because isn't that the goal of all of the types?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Innocence and vulnerability for the old eight. Yeah.
What's the seven supposed to do?
Sobriety. Like, appears when you end up, when you see things through to the end instead of moving on to something easier and more interesting than what's at hand.
Yeah.
The virtue, I love how they frame this. The virtue of sobriety is what appears when the passion of gluttony subsides. And for the eight, the virtue of innocence is what appears when the passion of excess subsides. So you could see how a seven and an eight would be kind of relatable to each other in a way. Like, I used to be, when I was like in my earlier days of recovery, I would say I was a seven with an eight wing. I was much sevenier than I am these days. These days I'm more eight with a seven wing for sure. But I got a strong seven wing. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
And you're a three with a what? Two.
I've always thought two wing.
Yeah.
I'm not a four wing.
No, just you're not.
None of that vibes for me. Fucking.
I don't see it.
I'd be a better actor if I was, I think.
Yeah, but you know, all that love of the two, that makes you a good actor too.
Right.
You
can
empathize with all the types of people and stuff. So what do we want to talk, like, what should we review?
I noticed something happening. And that, well, it was something that came up right at the end there. What was I going to say? Oh, the idea, and I think this is relatable both to acting and to life, of the pursuit of the holy ideal. Like, it's great to play from the point of view of the sort of most extreme version of that character.
Yeah.
But if it isn't married with the journey towards something, then we aren't as... Even scenically, I'm thinking like an improv, like that's just a note I'm hearing in my own head about improv. It's like, well, if you're just going for your point of view, then it's just an argument. But if you're trying to get something and maybe you get that thing, then that's a good place to be working towards. In the same way that when we learn about the Enneagram, we don't go, well, I guess I'm a three.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's how I am.
Deal with me, the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I like the practice. It's good for me because here, how did they say it? Something about with the eight. It's like here, look. Hold on. It's like no. Okay, the holy idea for the eight is holy truth, knowing that each person has their own truth to live by, and often it won't be the same truth that seems so obvious to you. That is such a consistent lesson in my life.
Say that one more time. I'm having, for some reason, the logic of it is scrambling my brain.
Knowing that each person has their own truth to live by, and it won't be the same truth that seems obvious to you.
Right. Oh, God.
It's like the live and let live. You know, you're you and I'm me and we're different and you get to live your truth and your truth, my truth doesn't have to be yours and it couldn't be anyway.
Yeah, it's really hard when people hold, I was thinking that only belongs to the one, but no, it belongs to everybody. The idea of, well, I have an expectation based on how I perceive the world and I have certain whatever ethics or precepts that's like, well, if this is happening, then this is the right way to be in response to that. And then holding everyone else to that same standard.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was saying is because I'm an eight and that's my holy idea is knowing that other people have their own truth and that won't be the truth that seems obvious to me. As we do this exercise, I'm like, right, right, right. The holy idea of the seven is different and what the seven is learning is different. And the holy idea of the four is different and what they're learning is different.
Yeah.
It's fun for me as an eight to do it and go, right, this is a very useful way to develop characters.
Yeah.
Because it gets you way out of yourself, you know?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's fun. I like the... And again, I think it, you know, it behooves one. It's why people do things like drama therapy and role play and in therapy. Like, it behooves one to like, oh God, it's so cliche to say, but just like to see the world through another's eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's that cliche. I mean, it is cliche, I guess, because people say it a lot, but also cliches are cliche because they're true, right? And it's like,
yeah,
it's a very human design idea too, to bring it back to my favorite topic, in the sense that the whole point, it's called the science of individuation. And the whole point of it is to remember that the way they teach it in human design is they say, you have no idea how much you don't know what it's like to be someone else.
Oh, God.
And if you look at their chart...
Say that louder for the people in the back.
You have no idea how little you understand what it's like to be someone else until you start really looking at the charts, you know, theoretically, because then you see like, man, me and the projector next to me are such different animals. Me having any expectation of them that has anything to do with how I operate is so inappropriate for who they are. But I would never even think that way without looking at the chart, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof. I mean, I would sort of think that way, but like not at the depth that the design gives you access to.
Yeah. Feel that. I feel that.
All right. So
that's fun.
I want to do a little bit of accountability and then I think we need to go.
Okay. What's the accountability?
You have said you're going to get to work on your stuff with me.
Yes.
Do you want to tell the audience by when you're going to do book those sessions?
By 2:30 today.
Okay. We're going to hold you to it.
At least the first, I mean, I'll schedule the first session for sure.
Okay. You're going to purchase a package.
I'm going to purchase a package and then schedule the first session.
Okay. I love it. And then what do I need to do accountability about? Okay. Here, I'll do an accountability about. All right. I have to give a little context. There's been a lot of fundraising efforts I've been making for the theater company, including applying for this another grant. That's a $10,000 grant that I feel like we have a decent shot of getting. We have not gotten it. So my nervous system is like, cool, I did all that stuff. I don't have to do that anymore because I'm gonna get it. But I'm in like my 8 denial because the reality is we don't have it. So I have to keep doing fundraising stuff until we have the 10,000. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they did not say you got it and they have not sent it to my account. So it doesn't exist yet, Katie. So I keep being like, I'm just chilling, man. I got space now. I'm just going to like prepare my scene work for my directing side of myself and not even think about the reality that I don't have the money. I don't have all the money I need. So I'm just saying that here so that maybe next time when we record, I can talk out loud about actions I took toward more fundraising.
All right. Doing more fundraising. I want you to send me your cast list offline because I actually don't know who's in your show.
Oh, yeah, sure. No problem.
I know one of them, but I don't know who all of them is. And I'm just curious.
You want me to say it here?
Is it something that is appropriate to share in the public forum? Great.
I mean, they're
who's
going to
be in your play?
Okay. Casey Worthington is flying from New York City to stay in Sacramento and drive up to San Ramon and do this play and play Jeffrey.
Nice.
So excited. He's great. Ben Ismail is going to be commuting from Sacramento to play Ben.
Yeah, that's great.
Isn't that great?
Which is the role that Casey played when he and I did it together.
Yes, which I love. Twist.
Love it.
Jennifer Erdman.
Oh, yeah.
Is, you know her?
I do. I love Jen Erdman. I did the 39 cool. Steps with her at Center Repertory Theater 100 years ago.
Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. She lives in Orinda. She's doing our Penny. She's so great.
Penny's the speechwriter.
No.
Penny's the...
The crazy politician with big hair.
Oh, Penny's the politician? Wow.
Yeah, Penny's the Jamie Jones role.
I love that. I'll be honest, would not have called that. If you told me that Jen was in your show, I'd have been like, oh, she's perfect for...
Nope.
Yeah.
She knocked it out of the motherfucking park in a way that I did not see coming.
I love that shit when people break who you think they are.
I mean, she did big, broad, ridiculous comedy so well. It was in her bones. I didn't even have to give her anything. She just was in it.
Ah, God, that's awesome. Okay.
And then a young actress who's pretty new, her name is Emily Steelhammer, is playing Francine.
Love her name.
Great name, right? Yeah, she's really innately talented. Like she's talented as hell and she's right for the part. And I can't wait to see it. And I had them together in the auditions and they worked well off of each other. And between the energies, I mean, there's so much big energy in these actors. I think the whole thing is just going to bubble up and be delightful.
Cool. Well, that is awesome. I'm happy for you. You got a cast and it's going to happen. You're going to get some more money.
And I now officially have, this is other good news, every role filled on the production team.
Great. Oh, you got yourself a stage manager?
Stage manager, costumer. The only thing I need, and let's put this out there. I need people to work crew. I need 2 crew members to work backstage. Ideally, we're going to get some high school or college kids who want like college theater credit or something. But if anybody listening wants to work crew on our show, please let me know. klrubin@gmail.com.
Cool. Well, what a fun time to have with you today, Katie. Let's see each other in the human form more.
Okay, I love it. I'll be the one who's really amped up but not itching herself.
I hope your itchy coochie gets better.
Thank you. Do your work. Bye.
Do your work. Bye.
All of the answers. All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. There's a time you gotta go and show you grow, and now you know about the facts of life. The facts of life. When you're learning the facts of life, learning the facts of life, learning the facts of life.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.